Who is more important? Jesus, Savior of the world, or the Old Testament prophet who foretold him? New Testament apostle or Christian pastor today talking about him? The answer seems obvious to us. And yet there were some at the time of Christ who did not realize what they should have realized. They were disciples of John the Baptist, who, according to John chapter 3, came to their highly esteemed teacher and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but 'I have been sent before him.' He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." It seems that these disciples of John were more than attached to their teacher. They were also wrongly concerned about the following that Jesus was gaining, so John had to straighten them out. He reminded them of his own testimony that Jesus was the Messiah and John was only the forerunner of the Messiah. He also brought up the example of a wedding that has a bride, a groom, and then we'll call him a best man sort of person. They didn't quite have that custom, but it works for our purposes here today. The bride belongs to the groom, not to the friend of the groom. In this example, the bride would be the believers following Jesus. The groom, of course, is Jesus himself, and John the Baptist is in that best man friend role of someone who's rather delighted to see what should be seen. The bride goes to her husband. That's the way it should be. And so John said, "He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease." Let's apply that verse to our own time and situation. Our pastors and teachers are pretty much in the same position as John the Baptist. They lead people to know Christ as their Savior, like John did. As John before them, they point to Jesus as the one God has promised, the one who really did come to take away the sin of the world and give people the gift of eternal life. Now, in our day, there's something of a challenge at work here. Unlike those times back then, people cannot see and relate to Jesus visually. While they do relate that way to their pastors and professors, this can increase the tendency to place too much focus on the messenger, too much attention and emphasis on the preacher, rather than on the one who sent the messenger and saved the people and gave believers their hope of eternal life. Certainly it is right and good for students to be on friendly terms with their teachers and members to be the same way toward their pastor. They should honor and respect him, give him their full support, pray for him all the time. But above all, they need to see, you need to see your pastor, your teacher, your chapel speaker as the extension of Jesus himself. When, as God intended, the messenger delivers law and gospel truths from the Bible, then the audience needs to hear it as Jesus talking. Everyone involved in the exchange should realize what the Lord has said about all those who speak in his name. He who hears you, hears me. So, pastors, teachers, including professors, called workers such as missionaries, they all need to remember that they not only represent Christ, they serve Him faithfully when they deliver from His Word what they need to, with nothing added or subtracted from it. This is no formality. The person who's called to preach or teach cannot simply go through the motions when in the classroom or in the pulpit. There needs to be diligent preparation and study beforehand, careful thought and prayer going into it, and even some use of imagination, visual aids, or technology perhaps. Our God-given task deserves our best efforts as His spokesman, and let's not forget your best efforts as His audience. But none of that will make the law of God more effective as the mirror of our sins, or the gospel of Christ more effective as medicine for the soul. No matter how engaging the professor or pastor may be on a given day, he cannot do, or even enhance a little bit, what the Holy Spirit will do in the heart and mind. This is a very good thing, that the power of the Word does not depend on the man who speaks it. In fact, it does its work in spite of the man who speaks it. So when pastor and members, teacher and students have their focus, both parties, on that word from God about Christ, then as a result, Jesus will grow in our eyes. He will increase in stature and importance, while the messenger, like John, fades into the background and even gets replaced by somebody else. That's the way it should be. That's the way it will be when the Lord sets our hearts to relate to Him, to hear Him through His Word brought to us by all the messengers that He sends to us. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning with hymn 294, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 of hymn 294.